Well, it's good to be in the presence of the Lord, isn't it? Isn't it good to be in the house of God? You could be watching boring television. This sure beats boring television, doesn't it? Just being together, worshipping the Lord. And it's good to reflect back on 2006. And like you, I'm sure, for me, I've been so blessed at God's faithfulness. And looking forward to see his faithfulness during 2007. Because one thing is for sure, God will continue to be faithful, won't he? No doubt about that. He's promised that in his word. I don't know quite why I've been asked to speak tonight, because the subject is wisdom. Maybe it's because I've got a bit of grey hair. And they reckon that if you've got a bit of grey hair, you've got a little bit of wisdom. But we're entering into a series looking at wisdom. Tonight is what is wisdom. Next week is wisdom in relationships. The week after, wisdom in decision making. And I'm sure this is going to be a great series. And I've just put one or two quotes. They're nothing profound, but be wiser than other people if you can, but do not tell them. Thought that was good. That was by Chesterton. And then, it's surprising how much wisdom everyone possesses, if not for his own affairs, then for the affairs of others. I thought, yes, I like that. We've all got wisdom for other people. But we're entering in, Rita and I, a period where there's lots of change. Actually, for Tim and Joanna too, you've got lots of changes coming. And if there's been one thing that Rita and I have been crying out for, Lord, it is wisdom. Lord, with all the decisions, we've got dozens and dozens and dozens of decisions to make over the next coming months before we actually reach Spain. And our heart is, Lord, would you give us wisdom in all those decisions? Help us to make the right decisions. Because wisdom enables us to make the right decisions in a situation, doesn't it? And actually, it's not just something that, you know, we folks need who are moving. We all need wisdom, don't we? The church needs wisdom as we enter into 2007. And I pray that God will speak to us as we go through his word tonight. So let's turn, shall we, to the book of wisdom, Proverbs, and chapter 1. And we're going to be reading from verse 1, and it's page 635 in the Bible. And if you haven't got a Bible, just put your hand up. There'll be somebody who will bring one to you. Proverbs 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. For attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance, for understanding proverbs and parables, for sayings and riddles of the wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And in other parts of Proverbs, it says, is also the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and discipline. And then from verse 8 through to 20, it is warnings, really, against getting in with the wrong sort of company. And I'm not going to read that, but just a line here. I think one of the things that we prayed much into, particularly when our girls were in their teenage years, was, Lord, help them not to get into wrong company. Help them not to link up with bad friends who are going to entice them away from the faith, who are going to cause them to take their eyes off of Jesus. But may they actually be linked with friends who are going to encourage them to go on with God, spur them on in the things of God. That's what we pray, because we've seen too many young people who've got in with bad friends and they've been pulled away from the faith. And that's been our hearts. And if you've got teenagers, that I'm sure will be your prayer. Lord, help our children to have good friends. Actually, they don't have to be teenagers, do they? They can be younger. But we want them to have good, godly friendships. I think that's one of the things that Rita and I have been blessed with ourselves. You know, we've had some wonderful Christian friends throughout our lives who we've been able to respect and admire and who've spurred us on. We've been in their company and we've felt so challenged and encouraged just by being with them. We have been blessed with wonderful friends. Perhaps you can say that too. I hope you can, that you've got people that just spur you on in your Christian walk. Value those people. They're very precious folks. And of course, also, we need folks in our orbit, don't we, who don't know the Lord. They're not our prime influencers, but we actually are people who can influence them, draw them in to a relationship with Jesus, draw them in to faith in Christ. So we need our non-Christian friends too. And then it just goes on and says this. Wisdom in verse 20 calls aloud in the street. She raises her voice in the public squares at the head of the noisy streets. She cries out in the gateways of the city. She makes a speech. How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. But since you rejected me when I called and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored all my advice and would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But, David talked about the but this morning, didn't he? There's a contrast here. But, whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. May God bless the reading of that word. I've got 3 points that I want to share this evening, and I'm going to be brief because it's communion. But before I do, just an introduction to the book of Proverbs I thought would be helpful. And firstly, what I want us to note from verse 1 is that Solomon is the writer of Proverbs. It says, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. And he's known, isn't he, as the wisest, one of the wisest men that's ever lived. And I could say some more about him. I probably will say some more about him later, but I just want to point out that he wasn't the only writer of Proverbs. There were 2 other people that contributed to Proverbs. And if we go to Proverbs 30, we'll notice that the second person who contributed to this book is a man called Agur. And we see it there. The sayings of Agur, son of Jacob, an oracle. So he also was involved. And then lastly, in Proverbs 31, we find that we have the sayings of King Lemuel. The sayings of King Lemuel, an oracle his mother taught him. So it sounds like he's been quite influenced by his mother here. And of course, it's got that lovely paragraph there about the noble wife, a wife of noble character. Who can find? And we love reading that to our wives, don't we? And the wives are looking, uh-oh. Do you know what? There are lots of guys who've tried to find this wife, and they haven't found her. Do you know why? Because I'm married to her. I'm sorry, guys. You missed out. Well, that's worth a few brownie points, isn't it? Actually, as we read through Proverbs, we see that the Proverbs are for everybody. But I think one of the main groups that these Proverbs are for young people. And it says so in chapter 1 there, but also right throughout, often it starts the Proverbs by saying, my son, my son. And I think Proverbs, they are there really to help young people avoid some of the pitfalls in life. And there are many pitfalls in life, aren't there? And here's some very wise sayings, and particularly for the young. It's saying, hey, listen up. Listen to what I'm saying, because this will help you in life. This will help you to lead a fruitful and a successful life. Proverbs themselves are really truth condensed into a few words. Somebody said, stated in memorable fashion, can be applied to a variety of situations in life. Somebody put Proverbs as being the facts of life. And here's some of the things that Proverbs covers. Honesty, integrity, diligence, kindness, generosity, readiness to forgive, truthfulness, patience, humility, cheerfulness. Actually, I was talking at the Friday Fellowship on... last week, and I was talking about, being cheerful. And I said to them, look, the one thing I really don't want to be is a grumpy old man. You know, we've got enough grumpy old men around, haven't we? I don't want to add to the list. And I gave them the permission, if you ever think I'm turning into a grumpy old man, please come and tell me. It'd be a great wake-up call. Actually, I think there might be somebody who will beat you to it, but... that's another matter. I'm looking at her. Loyalty, temperance, self-control. Anger should be held in check. Violence and quarrelsomeness shunned. Gossip avoided. Arrogance repudiated. Drunkenness, gluttony, envy, greed should be removed. The poor should not be exploited. Legitimate authorities to be honored. Parents should care for the proper instruction and discipline of their children. Children should duly honor parents. And much more. This is godly wisdom. Timely counsel for everyday life. This is a wonderful book, Proverbs. I don't know about you, but... I've gone more and more into Proverbs as I've got older. And now I'm in a season, I don't know how long it's going to last, but I'm in a season where I try to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. And I'm finding it very beneficial. It's very helpful, there's 31 chapters. Couldn't be better, could it? So a month of reading and then the first of the next month, you're back to Proverbs chapter 1. And it's not just reading it, but it's reading it prayerfully, isn't it? It's reading it in a way where you're reading different things and then you're saying, Lord, I want that to be prayed into my life. I want that to be part of my life. I want to live that out. I don't want just head knowledge. I want heart knowledge in this area, Lord. Don't think I've got it. And it's praying the word into our hearts, into our lives. Because we want to be people who live the word and not just hear the word. Well, the subject is, what is wisdom? And I want to look at three things very briefly tonight. Wisdom's worth, wisdom's way, and wisdom's warning. Mm. Ladies, let me just give you a scenario for a minute. You're out shopping in the sales, and you go into this store and you see a dress or a suit or something that you really love. And you think, whoa, I'd like to buy that, but it's a little bit pricey. And then you go to some other shops, and then you go to Primark or TK Maxx or somewhere like that, and you see the very same thing, same size, everything, but it's half the price. Which shop are you going to buy that dress or suit in? It's not rocket science, is it? I know what shop you're going to buy it in. You're going to buy it in the shop where it's cheaper, because it's better value for money. And you know, we all have a value system. I just think of someone like David's Lila. Her value system might be different to ours at this time, because as she's growing up. In other words, what I'm trying to say is, if you offered Lila a bag of sweets or a 50-pound note, what would she go for? She would go for the sweets, won't she? Why? Because the sweets, to her, are more valuable than the 50-pound notes. David, don't do that when she's 18. You'll lose out big time. And as we grow up, you know, we have a value system, and that value changes. And as we become Christians, hopefully we have different value system again. We have different values. You know, the values that I once had before I was a Christian are not the same as I have now. In fact, one of the things that, is happening Sunday by Sunday as we hear the word is God trying to wash our minds from worldly value systems and actually giving us his value system, a godly value system. See, our lives as Christians, if we're Christians here tonight, should not conform with the world. We should contrast, shouldn't we? Do we have people who say, you know, your life's very different to most people's? What is it that makes you tick? Why are you so different? Why is it you do the things you do? It's a great opportunity, isn't it, to witness to our Lord when we're asked those sort of questions. We can see from chapter 1 that wisdom is obviously something to be valued. You can see that all the way through, but let me just take you to Proverbs 8 and verse 11. Here we see God's value system. For wisdom is more precious than rubies. Anyone here like rubies? No? Diamonds? Gold? Money? Anything? For wisdom is more precious than rubies. And nothing, listen to this, nothing you desire can compare with her. Wow. This is wisdom's worth. I just got those earrings off the web. I didn't buy them, by the way, just in case you were wondering. This isn't a surprise present for Rita. But they're rubies there. And, you know, this is amazing, isn't it? This is, God does things differently. You know, on the one hand, you could have those rubies. Or on the other hand, you can have wisdom. If you could only have one or the other, what would you go for? I know that what a lot of the world would go for okay, guys, you're not into earrings, but if you could sell those earrings and get the house you always wanted and the car you always wanted and the holiday you always wanted and the yacht that you always wanted with those rubies, what would you go for? Actually, the Lord is saying wisdom is actually more valuable than all those other things. It's highly desirable. Anybody watch that program, Deal or No Deal? A few people. Yeah, you've got to be around about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I think, to see that. But, you know, you've got a box, then there's lots of other boxes that are various prices, and there's a banker there that says, look, you know, you can actually take this money or keep the box that you've got, Deal or No Deal. Well, if you've got wisdom in that box, doesn't matter what the banker offers you, £500,000, Deal or No Deal, you've got to say, no deal. I'm going with wisdom. That's wisdom's worth. What about wisdom's way? Let me just turn a page to chapter 9. And verse 10. How do we get wisdom? Well, here's how we begin to get wisdom. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Just for 1 minute, just get into groups of 2 or 3 and just share what you think the fear of the Lord is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, it says. Just turn quickly and say to the other person what you think the fear of the Lord is. Okay, time is up. Let's just have one or two people respond. What do you think the fear of the Lord is? Any response? Great definition, yes. Have an awe and a reverence of God, hating what he hates. I want to just go through that in a minute, but anything else? Yes, absolutely. A fear of drifting apart from him, of losing his presence. It's that longing to be with him. Let me quickly say that this fear of the Lord is not a natural fear. There are various fears around. It's not a natural fear. You know, there are natural fears in life, like putting your hand into a fire, falling off a cliff. That's a natural fear. Praise God that we have those fears. It's not a tormenting fear. Where, you know, we know what tormenting fears are, where there's just great anxiety and we can't sleep at night and we're really troubled and things are happening to cause us to be afraid. It's not that fear. It's not a superstitious fear. You know, there are some people who are bound up with superstition. It's not that sort of fear. I don't know about you, but when I see a ladder, I walk under it. Do you? I hope you don't go round it, because, you know, that's a superstitious fear. And we need to get done with that sort of thing. Friday the 13th, praise God! This is the day that the Lord has made! Some people don't want to get out of bed. And we could go through lots of other superstitious things. Don't be bound up with superstition, folks. It's a ploy of the enemy to trap you in fear. You know, the Lord challenged me over something a little while back, some years back now. But, you know, if I didn't have a quiet time in the morning. Do you know what? I thought I was going to have a bad day. Anyone else been like that? You know, quiet time. God's going to punish you for that. You know. And so I was expecting a bad day. And it was almost like my quiet time had become a superstitious thing. I needed to have it to have a good day. And God dealt with me over that. And he said, that's not on, David. I want you to come into my presence because you love me, because you delight in me, because you want to be in my presence. Not just come in to avoid having a bad day. And the Lord did a number on me on a few occasions. I didn't have some quiet times, you know, missed them different times. And then I'd look back on the day and think, wow, what a brilliant day I've had. You know, wow, this is great. Don't have your quiet time? Brilliant day. Hang on. I think the Lord was just trying to teach me a lesson. I am not preaching. Don't have quiet times for a good day. Please don't go from here saying, David said, don't have any time with God, because then you'll have a good day. God was trying to teach me a lesson. Superstition, we need to be done with all of that. But we do need a reverence and an awe of God. Because the first thing I want to mention, let's turn to Psalm 33, verse 8. Psalm 33, verse 8. Let the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. You know, we have a great God. We have an awesome God. Look at Ezekiel chapter 1. Look at Revelations, and you begin to get a picture of how great and mighty and powerful, wonderful, glorious our God is. He's amazing. And we need to have a reverence and an awe of him. You know, I think for some people, God is just somebody they think they can twiddle around their little finger. When they've got a need, they go to him. Sort of a little bit of a servant. Oi, I'm in a bit of a fix here. Please come and sort it out. And you know, it's easy to lose the reverence and awe of God. I have been in one or two situations where I've really sensed in a tangible way the presence and the awe of God. It sort of almost came into the room. You might not believe this, but we were in a room, a whole group of us, and people started falling down. Nobody was touching them. They were just crashing to the ground all around me. There was such a sense of the presence and the awe. And I was quick to get on my knees because I knew I'd be the next. That sense of the presence, the awesome presence of God. That's what the fear of the Lord is. That's one of the things of the that are connected with the fear of the Lord. You know, it's that awesome presence of God. And sometimes I think that word awesome is totally misused, because really I only feel that we can use that word, you know, when we're talking about God. There's only one person who's really awesome, and that's our God. But I hear, you know, people, you know, different parts of the world, I won't mention them, but they say, wow, that was just an awesome pizza. And I think, give me a break. Awesome pizza? You can't have an awesome pizza. No, but our God is an awesome God. Amen? And I trust that as we go through this coming year, we get a greater sense of the awe and the reverence of God. That we worship him with all our hearts. You know, that when we come together, it isn't just a sing song together, because that's what we do. But we worship the living God with all our hearts and souls and minds and strengths because of who he is. He's a wonderful God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And one of the aspects of the fear of the Lord is a reverence and an awe of him. Secondly, I want to go through this fairly quickly, a wholesome dread of displeasing him. John 8, verse 29. Let's go to John 8, 29. John 8, 29. Jesus said this, "The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I sometimes do what pleases him." Isn't that great? Is that what your version says? No. If you're following me, you'll know that's not what it says. Let me make it clear. He always does what pleases God. I don't know about you, but that's my heart. Is that your heart tonight? I hope your heart is that you always want to please him. And do you know one of the hindrances I find to pleasing him? The fear of man. You know, sometimes we fear men, don't we? Rather than have that righteous and holy fear of God. We do what man pleases. What pleases man rather than what pleases God. May God help each one of us to be God pleasers and not man pleasers this coming year. That our desire is to please him, the one who loves us so much, the one who died on the cross to forgive us of our sin, the one who's come and healed and restored us and forgiven us and given us a great future and a great hope for heaven. May he help us to be pleasing to him. And lastly, to hate sin. That's another aspect of the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13. Let's just go to that together. Proverbs 8:13. And it says this, "To fear the Lord is to hate evil." To fear the Lord is to hate evil. Why should we not sin? Well, in Genesis 6:6, we find that it breaks the heart of God. And in Isaiah 59:1-2, we read, it separates us from God. Why should we not sin? Because it breaks and it separates. And as we come into this coming year, may God give us a hatred of sin. Because too easily, we can love sin, can't we? Let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we love the sin, particularly if it's a sin that we keep doing over and over again, a besetting sin. It's sometimes called, you know, we keep doing those sins. When we analyze it, it's because we love that sin. We haven't got to a place of hatred for that sin. And may God build in our hearts a hatred for sin. Because it, what it has done to Jesus. Because it, what it, of what it does in our lives. It separates us from that wonderful, glorious relationship with him. Let's not play with sin. Let's not get as close to sin as possible. But let's keep well away from sin. We all know what I mean, don't we? Sometimes we can just play with sin and think, well, you know, this isn't really sin, but it's pretty close, but it's not sin really. No, let's flee from sin. May God help us to have a hatred for sin and a love for the Lord and for his word. Lastly, let's have a look at wisdom's warning, and my time's gone. And I just want to say that, well, let's just go back to our passage, shall we? And here we read verse 20 again. "Wisdom calls aloud in the streets. She raises her voice in the public squares. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. In the gateways of the city, she makes her speech.
How long will you simple ones love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate knowledge? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. There's wisdom crying out. And, you know, we need wisdom, don't we? In so many situations. I've just got a few down here. As we desire wisdom with all our hearts, it'll help us to make good decisions. Do you remember Solomon? He was brought a problem. There was two women, one baby. They both claimed that the baby belonged to them. God gave him wisdom. He knew that the real mother would not want the baby to be cut in half. And so that's what he said. And sure enough, you know, the real mother was identified. It'll help you. Wisdom will help you with finances. It will help you with time. It'll help with raising a family. It will help in our marriages. It will help with our studies. It will help with our relationships. Wisdom is crying out and saying, I want to help you. I want to assist you in life. I want to help you in life. Don't turn away from me. Don't go into your own folly, but seek after me with all your hearts. And we can do that, can't we? As I've said, by understanding its worth. It's something to be desired more than anything else. We can see that we can begin to get wisdom as we have the fear of the Lord in our lives. Have an awesome reverence of God. A hatred of displeasing him, a hatred for sin. And we can have wisdom as we heed as we heed her warnings. And we've read it at the beginning, but there were warnings there about ignoring wisdom and going one's own way. And you know, as I come to a close, I just think wisdom is so desirable. And as I looked at wisdom, and as I looked at this list that I've just mentioned about helping decisions and finances and times and family and marriage and studies and that, I just thought all of those, we could just put the word Jesus there. Couldn't we? Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says that God has made Jesus to us our wisdom. And scripture, let's just turn to it as I close. 1 Corinthians there and chapter 1. And it says this, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, that's God, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. As we seek after wisdom, we're seeking after Jesus. And who wants more of Jesus? Amen. Anybody here? We do, don't we? So let's seek after wisdom. Because in seeking after wisdom, in a sense, we're seeking after Jesus. And next week, the whole area of wisdom in relationships, I think, is going to be unpacked. But let's pray together. And just as I pray, and then I think Mike and Sarah will come up and lead us in a song. I just had a sense in my heart that there's somebody here, and you know you're not making wise decisions at the moment. It's almost like you're on a self-destruct course. You know you're not making wise decisions. And tonight, God's speaking directly to you, and he's saying, I love you so much. Don't continue on this self-destruct course. Tonight, you can turn around and start making those decisions that are going to actually bring such blessing to your life. You know, if that resonates with you at all, then please, after the service, come and see somebody. Get them to pray with you so that things can be turned around for you from tonight on. And you can begin to live in wisdom and live in the presence of Jesus. Lord, as we come into a new week and indeed into a new year, I pray for each one of us that you would come and help us to walk in wisdom. We want to walk in the way of wisdom. Help us to understand its worth. Help us to heed its warnings. Help us to embrace wisdom, to be praying for it, to be asking for it, to be looking for wisdom in these coming days. Indeed, Lord, help us just to be looking and embracing Jesus in everything we're involved in everything we do in these coming days, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.